Welcome to our conference.
Good evening.
Do we have any announcements? I know we have our praise band here. Praise God for that. And Brian Gilbert is going to be presenting tonight. And I'm Mary, I'm one of the hosts for this. And Will Gallerani will be here shortly because he was called away for something else tonight, but he will be here. So welcome, everyone, and we will get started. And Joseph and Elizabeth will also be here at some point. They're on African time, so. Okay. So are we going to start with worship?
Do you want to start with prayer, and then we'll go right into worship?
Yep. So if we all would just bow our heads for a minute. Beloved Father, we thank you for this conference. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that will lead and guide and move and do what he needs to do. Let him have his way tonight. Whatever he wants done, we will stand and we will do. So, Father, empower each and every one of us to be sensitive, to pay attention, to listen, and to do as he gives us guidance. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and anyone that is on their way, we ask for travel mercies for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
We've come to worship you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, this night, to give you all the praise and glory. All the honor that's due your name.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord.
If you can, why don't you stand and join with us? This is a beautiful song. Just worship God. If you don't know the song, just close your eyes and let the words minister to you by the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Into what Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst.
day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day. You are worthy of it all. We bless you, Lord. You are worthy of it all. We sing your praise. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy, Lord.
You are worthy of it all.
We bless your name.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You are worthy. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Singing,
you're worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. I exalt you, and I exalt thee. I exalt Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, everybody. Thank you for coming. I want to just get right into the Word. Go to Revelation 1. This isn't where we're going to be, but I just love this scripture. Well, we'll read the whole thing. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us, and who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom of priests, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, in the kingdom, and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with like a long robe, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like that of the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. I just want to look at where it says that he was standing in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And the seven golden lampstands were the seven churches of Asia Minor. But even beyond that, reaching beyond that, the seven churches, seven being the divine number of completion. This is the message of God to the church universal throughout all the ages. And it says that Jesus Christ is standing in the midst of the church. Think of it. The church universal of all ages, Jesus Christ is standing. Now the Greek word for standing means to move around, to work, to put your time and effort into. So what that is saying is that Jesus Christ has decided to put his time, his effort, and all of his work in the midst of the church. And if he's doing it, so should we. We should be putting our time, our effort, our work into the church, because that's what Jesus Christ himself is doing right now. As I said, we're not going to be there, but I love reminding people of that. The reality that while we're here, we're not here alone. If there's only two of us, it doesn't matter, because Jesus Christ is here in our midst. And that isn't a hope, though. That is a promise that he gave us. He said what? He said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in your midst. So where there's two of you, whether you're in a church building, whether you're at Denny's, whether you're at the graveyard, or whether you're at home, there he is in your midst. Go to Ezekiel 37. You know, when Joseph talked about doing this conference, and he said the fire prophetic conference, and it's based on Ezekiel 37:3, can these bones live? we need to know what prophecy is. Because I think sometimes the church gets it a little confused. And we have a bunch of people on TV and on the radio trying to tell the future, but they don't know what prophecy really is. Prophecy is a declaration of the Word of God. That's what prophecy is. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, you can all prophesy. You can all declare the Word of God. So that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is a declaration of the Word of God. Now, there are those that are gifted to prophesy, and God will speak to them a word right now to the heart. And they declare that. They present it. That is prophecy. So many times we think of prophecy as telling the future. What's going to happen in the road? What's going to happen in 20 years? What's going to happen when he returns? No, the prophecy of God, true prophecy, is a declaration of the heart and word of God right now. That is what true biblical prophecy is. And I believe here with Ezekiel in chapter 37, we are seeing what God was doing with Ezekiel then, thousands of years ago in the Old Covenant. But I also see a view of what God wants to do with us right now and right here in the New Covenant. In 2023, in America, in New York, this is what God wants to do. So let's start with verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Think of the question. What would your answer be? I can tell you so many people in the church, so many people around would have so many good answers to that question. They would have good strategies. Here's how we can make the bones live. Here's my 10 steps by my book of how to make these bones live. Think of it. But when God asks the question, he's not looking for a wise answer. When God asks the question, he's looking to engage Ezekiel with himself and what he's about to do. So Ezekiel's answer isn't, oh, Lord, of course they can live, and here's all the ways they can live, and here's what I'm going to do to make it happen. He says, oh, Lord, God, you know. Only you know, Lord. I could imagine Ezekiel. Why is he asking me? Only you know, Lord. Only you know if these bones can live. Only you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones. Isn't that interesting? That God's solution to the problem, what's the problem? Well, there's a lot of dead, dry bones in the valley. That's the problem. That's the issue that's happening right there. God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Only you know, Lord. And what was God's solution? God's solution is Ezekiel. God's solution is Ezekiel. We look today, all around us. There's a valley of dry bones all over us. In New York State, definitely. All over this nation, all over this world, is a valley of dead dry bones. And as Ezekiel said, it's the same now, and they are very, very dry. They're very dry. So what's the solution? The solution is you. You are the solution. The problem is dead dry bones. There's a lot of dead people that they've been dead for so long that the bones are drying up. Dead so long that there's no longer flesh on the bones. And God asks you, can these bones live? Lord, only you know. That's the answer. That's the only answer. Only you know, Lord. Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. That's the solution to the problem. Ultimately, yes, God is the solution, but God used Ezekiel to be the solution. God uses us to be the solution. God uses his church to be the solution. In fact, if I look in the scripture, in the Old and the New Testament, I would venture to say that I don't see any other way that God uses to solve problems. It's always through his covenant community. It's always through his people. That's the only way that God solves problems. So to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Only you know. So you prophesy, Ezekiel, over the bones. Because he's engaging Ezekiel to be the solution to the problem. So prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know, right? What does he want to bring the bones back alive for? Just for the sake of them being alive and having life again? No. He's bringing them back to life. He's resurrecting these bones because he's saying to them, and you will know that I am the Lord. That's the whole point of all that he's doing here with Ezekiel, is to take the covenant community, the people that he had chosen, that have wandered off into idolatry, that are now just a valley full of dead, dry bones. And he's saying, I'm going to bring resurrection to you, but not so you can keep doing what you were doing, but so that you will know that I am the Lord. That's the whole point. And what does Ezekiel do? Does he raise his hand and say, Lord, but what about this? Lord, wouldn't it sound better if you said it? Lord, couldn't you just take care of this? I got stuff to do. Ezekiel doesn't say any of that. What does he do? He simply is obedient to the word of God. It's real simple. We complicate things so much, and the scripture lays it out so simply to us. God calls us to a purpose. We respond with obedience. And because he responded with obedience, everything that he said would happen did happen, came about. That is where we need to be as a church in this nation, in this state. We need to be those who respond to God with obedience. That's all that he's looking for, is people who will respond with obedience to his word. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. As he was commanded. Listen, God wasn't just simply asking him, Ezekiel, if you got a little bit of time, will you please do this for me? It was a command. It was a command from God, and Ezekiel, knowing that, responded with obedience. So many today just respond haphazardly to whatever God says. Lord, if I got time. Lord, if nothing good on TV. But it's so nice out, Lord, so probably not today. I got so much other stuff I could be doing right now. Maybe another time. Is that not what we see all over us? People that won't respond to God because they feel like they have something better to do. But Ezekiel, knowing that there was nothing better to do but to be obedient to God, simply prophesied as he was commanded. It says, but as I prophesied, it was an immediate response. The atmosphere around him, the bones that were dead and dry, immediately responded to Ezekiel's word. Think about that. They immediately responded to Ezekiel's word. And why is that? Because Ezekiel was simply speaking God's word. He was prophesying. He was declaring to the bones the word of God. And because it was the word of God coming through his mouth, they responded immediately. They had to. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone and bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had came upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. So the bones came around. He prophesied to the bones, and the bones came together. The sinews came upon them. The flesh came upon them. They did everything that he had said. They had the bones had reacted to everything that Ezekiel had prophesied. But there was yet no breath in them. And without the breath, there can be no life. So what does he say? He says, all right, Ezekiel, we got another problem. There's no breath. You prophesy. You prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. Breathe and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's the reality of it. It wasn't just a bunch of people standing around. When he brought them back, when he brought them to life, they were an exceedingly great army. That is what the Lord sees all around you, in your life. Your family members, your people you work with, the people in your community, you see, we see, they are just a bunch of dead, dry bones, but the Lord sees through that and sees an exceedingly great army. Because God's purpose in all that he does is to use you to bring people into the kingdom that can then be that exceedingly great army for the sake of God and for the sake of his kingdom. That's what prophecy is all about. That's what preaching is all about. That's what everything, that's what prayer is all about. Worship is all about that end. That we could bring people into the kingdom. Take, what does it say in Peter? Peter says, and he took people out of the kingdom of darkness and placed them in the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. That's our purpose. That's what he's called all of us to do. Not just the preacher, not just the pastor, not just the prophet, but every single one of us have been called to do that very thing. We've all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. We've all been called to be a part of God's kingdom. And so much so that even Paul, speaking to the church, says, look, when you come together, don't just listen to one person talk for an hour. When you come together, one should have a psalm, another a hymn, another spiritual song. Prophetic words would go forth. There would be tongues, an interpretation of tongues. That everything would be done to the edification of the body. You've all been called to be a part of what God's doing. You see a problem in the world. You see the problem in your community. You see an issue in your family. You're the solution that God has called. You are the solution. We, the church, are the solution to the issues in this world, to the issues in our communities. We can't look to the government. We can't look to somebody else to solve our problems. God says, I have a problem solver, and it's the church. And it's the church. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Speaking to Israel, and Israel at the time was indeed, they were, part of them were in Assyria, the other part was in Babylon. They were slaves, they were taken away because of their idolatry, because they were disobedient to the Lord. So of course they were in a place where there was no hope. They thought they were cut off forever. He says, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you. Hallelujah. Do you see what just happened in Ezekiel? Yeah. Ezekiel was talking old covenant language, and then right there, he started speaking new covenant language. Because there's no place in the old covenant where the spirit of God was placed into somebody. That's new covenant language. So he's looking. The context, yes, was of Israel. But the fuller context, the spiritual context, was of the covenant community of all ages. In the old covenant, it was Israel. They were called for a purpose. He called Israel to bring about Messiah. And when Messiah comes, he brings all. He calls all in to the kingdom. He calls all to be a part of his covenant community. Jews and Gentiles alike, as Paul says. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. You shall have life. You're hopeless. You're in a place of no hope. You feel like you've been cut off from the promises and the faithfulness of God. But listen to me. He has promised that he's going to bring you to that place where he's going to put his spirit within you and you shall live. You shall have life. You shall have life. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know what? I am the Lord. Notice he never says, and you shall know all these great and mighty things and these spiritual secrets. No, simply, you shall know that I am the Lord. That's the greatest knowledge anybody can have, is to know the Lord. And that knowledge, that knowing, is yada. It's a Hebrew word that speaks of the knowing that a husband and a wife have together. That intimate knowing and knowledge of one another. He's saying, I'm bringing you into a place of intimate relationship and fellowship with me. And you will know, you will yada, I am the Lord. You will be brought into an intimacy of relationship. You will no longer be separated. You will no longer be on your own. But you will be a part of who I am and what I'm doing. And you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. Amen. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. That's interesting because here's one of all the things we say God is love, God is holy, God is righteous. The one thing that combines and brings all those things together is God is faithful. God is faithful. And what does God is faithful mean? That means whatever God has promised he will do, he will do. That's what that means. Read Hebrews 11. We say it's the faith chapter. It's the faithfulness chapter. All the faith that they had, they only can have faith because God first was faithful. Because God began the whole interaction with his faithfulness. It says of Sarah. Sarah was given somebody that was, she was very old. She shouldn't be having kids. And because she was very old and shouldn't be having kids, who's going to figure she's having kids? It says, but because she considered him faithful, he gave her the ability to have kids. He gave an old woman who had no right to having kids the ability physically to have kids. Why? Because of who she was, how great she was, the great things she did? No. Because she considered him faithful. Everything God does in your life, he does because you consider him faithful. It's plain and simple. The whole point of everything that's going on in Ezekiel is to show to the people of God who God is. Who is God? That's the ultimate question that everybody should be asking. Who is God? We want revival. We want awakening. We want all these things. But what God is trying to do, he's trying to bring people in to know who he is, to begin a part of an intimate relationship with him. And that's plain and simple. God is faithful. And because God is faithful, everything he ever said he will do for you, he's going to do it. Plain and simple. What does it say here at the end of this? It says, and I will do it, declares the Lord. I will do it, declares the Lord. We don't have to consider, what if? What if that sickness never leaves me? I will do it, declares the Lord. What if my children never get saved? I will do it, declares the Lord. What if I got to continue watching my family in darkness? I will do it, declares the Lord. And how's he going to do it? He's going to use you to do it. You are the solution to the problem. You are the solution to all the issues that's going on. You are the solution. So we're going to do something. And you may seem this silly, but we're going to do it. Let's everybody stand up. We all have issues, right? Life, nothing's perfect. Am I correct? We all have an issue. We all have a problem that needs to be solved. Right? Ezekiel saw an issue. What was the issue? The issue was that there was a valley of dry bones. They were very dead. They were very dry. There was no hope for life with those bones. God said, can these bones live? Lord, only you know. Only you know, Lord. He then looks at Ezekiel and says, Ezekiel, you prophesy. Ezekiel, you prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel, you declare the word of the Lord. Ezekiel, you are the solution to the problem. So I want to do that very thing right now. Whatever your issue is, you know that, you know what it is. None of us need to know. Let's all turn around to the doors. I don't have to turn around. I'm already facing the doors. Open the doors. All right. We're going to declare the same thing that Ezekiel declared. He declared it over actual dead, dry bones. You're going to declare it on what you need to see change in your life for, what you need to see change in your family, what you need to see change in your neighborhood, in your community, in your church. What the problems are, you are the solution. So let's declare together. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, let's say this together. Oh, dry bones.
Oh, dry bones.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.
I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.
Yes, Lord.
You shall live. You shall live.
And I will lay sinews upon you. And will cause flesh to come upon you.
And cover you with skin.
And put breath in you.
And you shall live.
And you shall know.
That He is the Lord.
We're going to keep declaring. We're going to declare one phrase seven times. For every time that the enemy tries to get in and try to do something and cause disruption and cause these things not to happen, we're going to declare. Let's declare it. Let God arise.
Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered.
Let His enemies be scattered.
Let God arise.
Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered.
Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered.
Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered.
Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered. Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered.
One more time. Let God arise.
And let His enemies be scattered.
Amen. Let's just praise you, Lord. Praise you.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Praise his name. Praise him. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You are faithful, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Shut on the potty. Shut on the potty at the potty. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Shut on the potty. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Listen, I really believe with all that is in me that God wants to spark something here. You can call it revival, you can call it awakening, you can call it whatever you want, but God is ready to move. And in order for God to move, he's not looking to move on his own. He's looking for a people that will move with him. Not to get him going with where we're going, but we need to go where he's going. We need to be where he's at. Moses, when they had to move every so often and they had to take the tents and they had to move, he said a prayer. He said, Lord, Father, he said, we only want to go where you're going. If you're not going, Lord, then neither are we. We need to be of that same heart and that same mind. Lord, if you're not going, then neither am I. But Father, if you are going, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. God wants to spark something. And it only takes a few. He can save with few or he can save with many. So as we look around and we're wondering where this person is or that person is, or where's my family or my friends, it doesn't matter. God only needs a few. Amen. To shake this world upside down. Yes. To shake this world upside down. But there's only one prerequisite. There's only one prerequisite to this. Obedience. Are you willing to do what God says to do? Are you willing to speak the words that God says to speak? Are you willing to prophesy when God says to prophesy? Are you willing to declare the word of God when he says to declare the word of God? If you are, then you're a part of what he's doing. Then you are a part of what he's doing. I believe that's what he's trying to do here. He's trying to spark something, Joseph, that's going to start here, that's going to spread, it's going to be like a wildfire, that's going to spread all over the state. It's going to spread all over the state. But do you want to be a part of what God's doing? Do you want to go where God's going? Do you want to be the part of the fire that God is spreading all over New York? Then you've got to be obedient to his word. That's simple. Don't have to hear what I'm saying. You don't have to listen to me. Don't do what I tell you. Do what God tells you. Do what God says. Joseph, will you come up? And just, I'm done. The Lord said, I'm done.
Yeah, oh yeah, us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, Hear, O hear us when we pray. Brian, I am so happy that the Lord used you so powerfully tonight to kick off this Fire Prophetic Conference. Something has happened in the atmosphere already, and the devil is crying. It's too late. Everybody say, devil? It's too late. Amen. Well, I am very, very sure of this word that is coming to pass. And it's passing. It's coming now. It's happening. I almost want to send you to Zambia. You may have your seat, please. This is Fire Prophetic Conference. How many of you were blessed tonight? I was so blessed. I was so blessed, so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. My wife and I were praying for this conference and praying. And this afternoon, we're praying for Brian that God will use him. Amen. Change him into another man to bring the word of the Lord today. We have received something from the throne of God. Yes. There's hope for your situation. Amen. You didn't hear me. I said there's hope for your situation. Amen. 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 I am very happy to be back from New York, from Oklahoma. Thank you for praying for us. We had a very good graduation. My oldest daughter graduated from Rhema Bible College. So we had to be there to support her and some of the relatives, daughters and sons. And I preached twice. And the Lord moved so mightily, mightily. I can't wait for the rest of New York to come to Lincoln. Amen. I'm still believing God. It's happening. And the only way it happens is by sending the word. Brian, keep sending the word. Keep sending it. Keep sending it in faith. It's the word that will bring the people. It's the word that will heal them. It's the word that will show them the way. Tonight, I want to recognize someone special who just heard about us through whatever Facebook or however. They saw the advertisement about and canceled their service. And say, we have Bible studies, but we have to cancel our Bible study. Let's go to that Fire Prophetic Conference. I don't want us to close the service without recognizing them and inviting them. A mighty woman of God and her and some of our congregation came here tonight to bless the conference. Let's give the Lord a hand for them. Pastor, we are so glad to have you. I would like you to come and greet the conference. Please, come. I've never met her. I met her just in the parking lot.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise him again. Continue to prophesy. You said something that was very pivotal. Do what God says do. I never knew this place existed. I can't even pronounce it correctly. But a woman of God who I have yet to meet reached out to me with prophetic words a few months ago. Her name is Kelly McIntosh. And she sent me your flyer through message. We communicate from time whenever the Lord leads her to speak into my spirit. And she sent me the conference. And when I saw the flyer, I knew I had to go. And the people said, my daughter especially, where are we going? I don't know. Where is this place? I don't know. I just know that we have to be there. I'm Apostle Rosalind Little. We have a small church on the south side of Syracuse, 116 West Corning Avenue. We are a newly founded church. We turned 5 years old on April 1st. And God has been doing miraculous things in our lives. I didn't just start church. I've been saved for many years and part of other churches, other ministries, served other pastors, been in other organizations, and I've done all of that. But God began to pull me and draw me into another direction to be able to hear his voice and move under his unction, to be kingdom-minded and not church-minded. And he has been blessing us. I got a bunch of kids, as you can see. But one of them said to me a couple of days ago, Pastor, we hear about all of the issues in the other churches and the organizations and their hierarchy and their, and she said, but we don't know anything about that. She said, all you've ever taught us is kingdom, and that's who we are, and that's all we know. We are the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God branches out all over this world. And I can remember teaching them, because I had to begin to teach them kingdom and not religion, but kingdom. And God let me know that all over this world, he has his people. We may not know each other personally, but our spirits connect because they are from the same source. And so even though I don't know anyone in here, my spirit connects with you. Your words poured into my spirit and they fed me. And I am grateful for you having us here. Our church is called Grace Ministries. Grace is an acronym for Greater Rescue Apostolic Church Evangelistic. And we just love the Lord, and we are looking for his fast approaching, and we want to be ready, and we want to bring as many people with us as we can. And that's the ministry, and that's the mission. That as many as we can rescue from this dying world, we do. And then we see our Jesus, and we get out of here. So God bless you. I don't know your name, but God bless you. Thank you for the word. God bless you, Pastor Joseph. God bless you. I thank God for you. And I'm going to turn this back over to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. forward. Come, come. You stood up here and I saw that there was, it was a triangle of light, almost like lightning, coming up out of the midst of darkness. There was darkness on your left and darkness on your right. But I saw a shaft of light that came up out of a firm foundation, and it shattered the darkness. So, and you are in that place where he wants you to be. That's what I saw, and it was just so real. I couldn't hold back. Amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Sing, church. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us again. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us again. Let that be not a song, but a prayer to the Lord. It is his desire to revive his church. To revive you and I. So that we can go forward to do the work of the kingdom. Amen. I would like to say thank you for coming. And I want you to know I'm going to appoint you as the first charter member from Syracuse. This prophetic conference, sis, are going to be held here twice a year. This is a last year we had one. This is the second conference. This year we're going to have two. So I pray that you will take advantage of it. There are powerful speakers that are coming tomorrow, day after tomorrow. Saturday we're going to have a powerful seminar here. And then climax on Sunday. So we want you to know that you are welcome. And please tell Apostle your husband to come. Yes. We'd like to meet him, okay? Thank you so much for coming. We want to ask those of you who want to be a blessing to the church. They usually have something back there. Whatever the Lord put on your heart, there's a back there, you just put it. I'm going to ask my wife to come and close the service.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you started to speak to us tonight. Can these dry bones live? Only you know the answer. And the answer is you sending us to the dry bones to prophesy to them. Hallelujah. Lord, here we are. Oh God, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us to hear your voice, to do what you are calling us to do, to be bold in the Holy Ghost. Lord, to venture out in the Holy Ghost, not to have church as usual, not to be afraid to step on new grounds. Lord, Masoya Raba Sandaraba, Masaraba Shandaraba, even as you spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, Lord, the hand of the Lord rested upon him. And Lord, you led him to the valley of dry bones because you were in him. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you have brought evangelism up to this region, to the region of dry bones. I pray, oh God, that your Holy Ghost will break forth upon him. He will hear the voice of the Lord. I pray, oh God, that you rejuvenate him. Lord, we thank you for the prayers that you prayed through us today in that cottage, oh God. We thank you that you are shaking, you are moving, you are beginning, Lord, to stir up, to stir up, to stir up, to stir up the evangelists, to stir up the prophetic, to stir up the prayer warriors, to stir up the pastors, to stir up the believers. Lord, we thank you for the rising of a great army in Northern New York. Masoya Rabasaka. Lord, we thank you for the raising up of a great army in Northern New York, in upstate New York, for the conquest of this state and this nation. Oh, Lord, draw us closer. Cause us to hear your voice. As Ezekiel heard your voice, and he gave the appropriate answer. And Lord, you came upon him by your spirit, and he prophesied the word of the Lord. Lord, let it happen to the evangelists, to the pastors, to the prophets, to the believers that are here tonight, and those who are not here tonight. May we hear the voice of the Lord and prophesy to the dry bones of our families, of our children, our husbands, our congregations, our communities, oh Yandorobosa, our cities, our countries. Oh Lord Jesus, for you are coming soon. Raise up the prophets. Raise up the evangelists. Raise up the pastors. Raise up the apostles. Raise up the teachers. Raise up the fivefold ministries, gifts to prophesy to the dying world. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I want to encourage everyone to remain prayerful and to get on the phone. If the Holy Spirit tell you to get on the phone to invite people, invite them. This weekend is going to be powerful. Tonight is a kickoff, and we're seeing what the Lord has done. We thank God for Pastor Brian yielding to the Holy Spirit to minister to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and prosper you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Shake somebody's hand and say, I'm